now, welcome to Live on Four Legs, instant reaction episode from night one of the Dark Matter Tour from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. That's right. There's one under our belt. There was so much anticipation and so much hype building up into this show. And now we know exactly, well, maybe not exactly, but we have a little bit of the blueprint of what the Dark Matter Tour is. We got a lot of people to talk to. We got a lot of discussion coming off this first show here, from some rarities in this set to a lot of Dark Matter songs, only two not played. Surprisingly, one of them being Waiting for Stevie and the other one being Got to Give, but everything else brought up on this night. Now, we are going to hear from Mar and some friends out on site in a little bit, but I think it's time for us to react before we do. Just so everybody knows, this is a free episode through Patreon and liveonfourlegs.com. If you're listening to this, welcome. And every episode after this will be featured on our Patreon through subscription. So all it will cost you is $1 a month, and you will get all of the Dark Matter instant reaction episodes until we're done with the series in November in Australia. So if that's something that you're interested in, patreon.com/liveonfourlegs. If you are listening to this on liveonfourlegs.com, there is a Become a Patron button right at the top. Every single episode you will get if you join up on Patreon. Now, thank you for listening to that. Let's introduce the cast and crew. Randy Sobel over here, John Ferrara over there, Javier Hervas over there. This is a packed crowd. What's going on, guys? We just saw the first show of the year. And quick, instant reaction. Like, give us a newspaper headline here.
Yeah, I'm super glad they played a bunch of Dark Matter songs and screens, like using those screens to good effect, it seemed like.
Hobbs?
Yeah, it's stoked. I'm just like, all my expectations were fulfilled for night one, for sure.
Now, let's talk about this first. So you had a lot of takes for what you were hearing on their boards, especially when we saw on Stern. You got to see a lot of the pedal board stuff. How much of that was utilized? What'd you hear from this sonically?
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that it was different to me. There was a lot of things that also caught my attention. Like, there was a lot of like kind of wishy-washy effects, like flangers, choruses here and there. Mike going fully digital, like there's no two vamps at all. At the same thing, Stones running the same thing, but it's just like, for what I was able to hear through the live streamings and all the people that they were broadcasting for us, which is, we got to be very thankful for that too. It's just, they sounded great. I think one of my biggest things is like, okay, did this song sounded like the album was recorded and meant to be, or they added their own twist like Pearl Jam does live? Like, I guess that's my biggest question that I hopefully could figure it out when I get to see them in Seattle.
It really sounded from the other side here, listening to those streams, that, yeah, like listening to Upper Hand Won't Tell, like I saw no flaw from live performance to record. I heard everything that I heard on that record outside of compression. That
we're not going to get into that. It's too late for that.
What do you think now? Let's talk about some of the Dark Matter songs here. What do you think was the highlight out of all this? I think that all of them really met my expectation. And that kind of goes along with listening to the record and being like, okay, that'll work here, that'll work there, that'll work there. And we got 9 of the 11, which is pretty incredible. As I said, all of them fit exactly into what my head was expecting. I thought that Upper Hand would steal the show, and I was right on that. I loved Upper Hand. Wreckage was very, very good. Dark Matter was very, very good. Scared of Fear was very, very good. I didn't see like a lot of difference though, and that's okay. That's okay. And I think something that we had mentioned before was that because they recorded a lot of this record live, that we were going to pretty much get what we got. And it's a nice thing that at least, you know, outside of watching it at the show, and we'll know from Mar in a little bit, it seemed like those songs felt like those songs.
It felt like Mike was going a little, putting a little bit extra into Scared of Fear and React Respond. Felt like the solo in React Respond was definitely a little different from the record. It felt like he was putting a little extra into that. But yeah, I mean, getting those first four in order, everyone thought, oh, here we go. We're gonna get the whole thing, and then they go into Daughter instead of Won't Tell, and everyone kind of goes, ah, but maybe they'll do it at some point. But then you got kind of the two blocks of them, and then a couple in the encore, which was cool. But yeah, I think Scared of Fear and React Respond, just it's gonna be so interesting to see, to kind of track how Mike progresses on those and what he's throwing in. Is that gonna be the new kind of Even Flow Porch, like Nothing as It Seems moment, where he's gonna get some time to expand on those solos?
Yeah, the solos definitely had a lot of beef. They had a lot of a structure. Sonically, for me, the highlights of the night were Upper Hand. I think that was like a jaw dropper for me, especially because
guitar on that one.
Yeah, I was gonna say that they were playing the intro live.
Was that the only Dark Matter song he played on?
I think so.
I didn't see it on Wreckage. I don't think I saw it on something special. Those were the only other two that I wasn't sure about.
But yeah, and then Won't Tell. I'm a sucker for Won't Tell, so I'm sorry if people don't like that song. Your problem. But I think sonically, it's just an exquisite song in the way that it's made. So
for me, the visuals on Won't Tell were really cool too.
Yeah. But like adding back to John, what he was saying about the solos, like they had so much beef. And I think, I mean, we didn't get any Even Flows tonight, or Porch was pretty good too. But
did you miss that?
What?
Did you miss Even Flow? Like, I felt like we went through the set, I didn't even think about it.
No. Not that I missed it, but I was just wanted to get to the point that maybe now that we have Scare of Fear and React Respond, maybe that's going to be the mic moment, like John was saying.
Yeah, it's not a bad thought.
Right.
No 10 songs until Porch.
Right. And we only got three overall, which is absolutely insane. But I think we'll really find out. I can't see a world where Monday's set happens and we don't talk about Waiting for Stevie, because I think that is going to be the one that truly shows where Mike is with this record, and Matt is with this record as well.
Yeah, that jam at the end is going to be, yeah, everybody's going to be eating sandwiches as Mike, and he's going to continue to do solos, man. I'm looking forward for that, whatever that happens.
For real here. Now, there's a couple stories. So, you know, the first four songs happen, and, you know, I think we were all shocked, because just about 90% of the people that were trying to predict this set all said that they were going to open with either Scared of Fear, Upper Hand. I'd been thinking that Dark Matter would be the opener, but I think everybody was kind of thrown for a loop when they opened with Wash. Almost like, whoa, okay, we're going back to A, a rare song, and B, you know, this is sort of old school Pearl Jam, because it reminded me a lot of the Lightning Bolt tour. Wash, Low Light, Elderly Woman, that's very much a Lightning Bolt three song intro. There was no stools out there, but it felt like kind of the easy going settle into the set. And then Given to Fly following the three of those, like after, it was really after Low Light where Ed said, you guys ready? Are you fucking ready? Like I thought Care to Fear was coming right after that.
Yeah. And like, they didn't use the screens at all until Given to Fly. That was another thing. It's like, I thought they would come out strong with like some visual thing to kind of make that effect, but they started out really slowly, like just the kind of silhouettes during Given to Fly of them playing. And then when Scared of Fear started, then you started to see some of the visualizer stuff mixed with some other effects and everything. But yeah, I mean, I was shocked. I mean, it felt like a new era. You want to come out with the new stuff, but you end up getting 9, so you can't really complain.
No, not at all. I'm going to take it to the end of the set here, because I think one of the more interesting things that happens is that you go through this set, you go through the encore. It's pretty beefy encore compared to what we've gotten in 2022, 2023. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and a total of 8. and you get the bread and butter. You get Alive rocking in the free world, Yellow Ledbetter. And then you think after Ledbetter, like, all right, see you later. Goodbye. And one of the things, if you guys had listened to the Destined to Remember live stream that we do with Dave Jantash from livefootsteps.org and Anthony Koshiewicz from the Touring Fan Live, is that I had kind of mentioned, I think Anthony brought up, like, what song would you get rid of on this tour? And I had mentioned Ledbetter just for the fact of, I want to see a new closing song. And here we got it. They did the whole house lights thing and kind of said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then we see a video come on the screen and the lights kind of dim down again. And we're like, oh, okay. You hear kind of that beat, that intro setting sun, and that's going to be how we close it. And boy, was that refreshing, guys. Like, just seeing something else in that spot,
yeah,
and giving it a different attitude, a different identity that feels like Dark Matter, because that's one of the things that they just don't have from the last 10 to 20 years, is that song at the end of the set that makes it feel specific to that era, because it's always been Ledbetter. And granted, yeah, it does deserve to be Ledbetter, but a change in pace just like this, getting Ledbetter into Setting Sun, I think changes the whole landscape of what you got at the end of the set.
Yeah, and I think this was, I mean, I think this is Ed being mercurial and having a laugh at the crowd, like, okay, guys, we're going to do Ledbetter, we're going to say goodbye, we're going to do the whole thing, and then we're going to cut the lights and play another song, and everyone's going to freak out. And now that they've done that, people are going to be expecting it, so we'll see how they play it going forward, if they just leave the lights on and go into it, because you're not going to be able to pull that over on people for the rest of the tour, because it's going to get around. But yeah, they totally, I think they totally vicked everyone out and pulled the switcheroo. Everyone thought the show was over. And you know, we'll hear what Mar and the group have to say about it. But I love that they just pulled the switcheroo and went into something different, because Setting Sun is, you know, it's different than, it's got a different vibe than Indifference. It's got a different vibe than ending with like Bob O'Reilly or something like that. It's a more kind of hopeful thing, you know, the last line, like, let us not fade. I think it gives a different, yeah, it's just going to be a different energy to the end. I hope they keep doing it.
Yeah, and the other thing that I would like to point out too is, I don't know if you guys noticed, but on all the screens and all the visual game that it was behind it, that actually reminded me so much of Radiohead and U2, like a mix of those two. It was pretty cool to see that the same concept that we started the show with, like John was saying, like you see the silhouettes. You see that kind of like half sphere or half sun with black and white light, and that's it. And then we get the same thing at the end. It's kind of like, okay, we welcome you to this new experience, this new Dark Matter thing, and now this is our goodbye. It might add to maybe have a little bit more predictable, like, closer for this tour, if that's the concept that they're going to follow. But I think it adds a little bit more towards the emotion of the show and like the experience of us, the fans, because now you have this thing that is just like, it represents a concept. I thought that was the coolest thing. And when all the lights went down, it's like, what is going on? Like, and then Setting Sun started to be played. And I'm like, wow, I was not expecting this at all.
Yeah. The best thing about Pearl Jam shows is trying to get away from the expectation. And one of the things that I guess that I thought about for a while, that it's like, it's too predictable, is Ledbetter and really Alive rock. And
yeah, Ledbetter, you never know what you're going to get.
You never know. And because they pulled that out, I think that might've been one of my favorite highlights from this. And that's saying a lot, because so many of these Dark Matter songs were just played so well. Is there a highlight or something that surprised you guys that you guys want to point out here that you heard?
I've got a couple of things I want to hit on real quick. There was a long intro to Leatherman, the first time that had been played since 2016. That was very cool. And Cameron requested that on the BBC Zane Lowe interview that they did. So that was cool that came back.
We've got a conspiracy now, you know?
Yeah. The encore when Ed had the projector doing the calligraphy, like talking about, you know, go Kraken, I'm fucking with you, go Canucks, and then asking for requests, oh, one at a time. I'm sure, like, I hope, you know, that that's going to be something different every time. It's going to be specific to what's going, but he was just on the side of the stage writing on a projector, which was awesome. The Jennifer thing at the end of Black, I'm sure we're going to have to, people are going to be talking about who's Jennifer, and then it's like there was a Jack and Sue in there. Maybe he's giving out shout outs to people during the song now. Do the evolution, the video playback felt like at the beginning it was just going to be the video, and then it seemed like it was an alternate version, like there were some different visuals in there as it went on, so maybe there's like an alternate Do the Evolution video. But yeah, a lot of, didn't even mention Chloe Crown, which was amazing to throw in. But yeah, a lot of stuff to look for going forward.
Yeah, for me, this whole new experience about the screens and the new dynamic that the stage has for the band and everything, it's just like, it has opened my appetite for so much more now, because now I want to see what else in store for the rest of the songs that we didn't hear tonight. What, how is going to be the experience combined with the screens? Like, it completely blew my mind also, like, Do the Evolution, like John and you, Randy, were saying, it's just like in like a twister version of it, and you see like the band members part of the cartoon. It was that was visually my favorite part. And then, as I said before, that Upper Hand Won't Tell combo, that it was sonically for me, that was my highlight for the night for sure.
Oh yeah, I loved watching the Evolution video up there and seeing sort of the silhouette of Mike and Stone on the sides, and it was kind of boxed in a way where you were able to kind of see little flashes of those shots from the video in the middle, and then you see the silhouettes of the band on the side. I thought that was done brilliantly. That's the kind of stuff that you need the video screen for, like, utilize it to its best efforts. And overall, with the video screen, I was very happy that we didn't get, you know, the blatant movie visualizers. It was a little bit different. I mean, they still had the same identity as the visualizers, but it was a little bit different and kind of set the tone along with what they were playing as well. But you mentioned Chloe and Crown, and I think as far as surprises go, yeah, Leatherman's a surprise. Red Mosquito was a surprise. But I think the way that Ed accidentally fucks it up by, before running, introducing Chloe and saying, oh, this is for a young girl and her father, and being like, wait, no, that's not the right song for right now.
Yeah.
And then, because that holds you, you know, obviously potato, of course, I have to mention it every single time. Sorry, guys, don't care. But, you know, you're hearing Running, and all throughout Running, you know, during the spuds, you're thinking, like, what the hell song was he talking about? Like, where could they be going with this? And I think maybe the last song on my mind was Chloe Dancer. I actually thought that it was going to be Steve, because he said something about the girl's name, and I thought it was going to be for Stevie. And just a note on Crown of Thorns, some of you may have remembered this, but in 2022 and 2023, when they played it a little bit, I don't believe they used the substitute teacher verse. I think they
were skipping the line. Yeah.
Went straight to the bridge from that chorus and ended the song to save a little time. The song is complete, guys. So I think
we lost the Tiny Dancer version, which I didn't like either. Okay, I got a question. Would it have been too much to show some visuals of Andy on the screen when that was playing, or would that have just been too much?
I don't know.
That's like right next to having a hologram of him.
Nah, I don't know.
Like, if it's, I don't know, if he teed it up with Mother Love Bone or something like that, they were like, oh, we found these pictures sitting in a box.
Pictures, not video or anything, but just some pictures, just a little, like, little something.
If there was a story attached to it, I'd say, yeah, but randomly, no.
That's a tough call.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think let's throw it to Mar, and she's with Margaret and Kylie right now. And they, you know, the whole thing was you know, night one, you always get night one as the technical difficulties here. And that's where we sat with this one, unfortunately. So anybody that was at the show that was looking forward to doing a little post game, unfortunately, it kind of didn't quite work out the way we expected it to. But that's why we go out there and we learn. We learn, and hopefully Monday will be different, and hopefully the rest of the tour will be different, where we will have that congregation of people meet up. So again, if you're going to any of these shows, this will happen. The post-game report will happen, and you'll have a great time and, you know, talk about what you just saw. I think it's going to be great from that standpoint. So we're going to hear from them. They recorded something on their voice notes. We give them a bunch of questions. So let's throw to that and see what they have to say right from the experience of being at that show.
All right. So it was one of the things that we wanted to talk about. Let me see. What did you think about the screens?
Love them.
It's different.
I love them. The shadows and stuff, I thought that was so cool.
Yes, the shadows.
I did miss the behind stage piece, like the seats and stuff. I love that.
Yeah,
I thought I like it was to better cut than off the like screens that. Hanging everywhere, like with the crowd. Mm-hmm. I thought this was so different. I loved it.
I thought it looked really beautiful. And the different, like, it was actually not quite what I expected. Like, I thought there would be more of the visuals that we saw in the theaters. So I'm really glad they didn't do that. I mean, of course they wouldn't, but I guess I was a little worried that might happen. I liked the different camera angles of the band, and I loved when they had, like, Mike soloing and then the rest of the band in, like, the silhouette, you know? Yeah. And then I also felt like, you know, side note, different outfits. Like, Mike had a new jacket and Eddie had a new hat.
But I like it's something different than I've ever seen them do. It was completely brand new, but exciting, and it wasn't new and just like, okay, this is weird. Like, it just felt, and the new songs, what I love is it, like, what did I say to you, Margaret? Like, it felt like they didn't feel new. They felt like they've been around, like, yeah, when they sang them.
Yeah. Like, we were familiar already.
Yeah, which was so great.
Yes. And Jeff looked good with his Idol shirt, and it looked like a brand new t-shirt.
Yeah, I got from the show, just like us.
Yeah.
So we were, like, just talking about, like what we thought about the calligraphy during the encore. I thought that was super endearing and sweet, and
funny, like,
super cheeky. I loved the, of course, you know, the May the 4th be with you note was adorable. I liked how they had the camera on him when he was writing these little notes and scribbling. And you got to talk about the Canucks.
Well, that was pretty funny when he wrote, he said, go Kraken. And we're like, boo. And then I'm just fucking with you. Go Canucks. And then when he mentioned our coach, but he spelled Tockett, like Rick Tockett, he spelled his name wrong, but it's like, okay, that's pretty cool. He knows who our coach is. And then of course he had to mention Chelios because that's like one of his best friends. But
yeah. Why did everybody boo?
For which?
For Chelios when they like,
I don't know. I was yelling Chelly because I love Chelios. He's actually my brother-in-law's favorite player.
Oh, yeah. I was just like, why is that? I'm like, is there something that I don't know about?
No,
I
mean, obviously, he's great. I've been watching him since, a really long time.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah.
He played in Chicago for many years.
And then, let's see. What Dark Matter songs were your favorite ones?
I think Something Special. That was just so sweet. And then I wonder, was his wife and daughter like in GA? Because he was kind of like pointing. I was like, is he like, I'm going to sing it to you. And then, because only one of his daughters was there.
Yeah, but I think it was Harper.
Yeah, it had to be.
Setting Sun was my favorite because it was like a surprise because they did Ledbetter. And I thought, okay, we're finishing. It's the last song, right? Blah, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden it was like, ooh.
Yeah.
I think it was a little surprise.
Yeah, it was so beautiful the way they did that, you know? Like, they had their traditional, you know, closing songs like Rockin' in the Free World and Yellow Ledbetter, and then we thought they were going to leave, and then they didn't. They picked up their instruments. Like, Matt got behind the kit. It was, like, kind of like a... It was kind of dark. People were beginning to leave, but then they stopped. And it was just, like, really kind of... It felt kind of, I don't know, to me, kind of bittersweet, but like it was just a really beautiful moment to end the show. It just kind of like tapered it, I guess, tapered the night off, you know?
What did we think of the crowd? Like how the crowd was? Did you think they were good or lame or?
Well, I thought that like, from what I saw in front of me, because I didn't really look too much behind me, I did see a lot of like singing along, which is like normal. And but yeah, like what we were noticing just being at the first row of one of the side sections where the entry into GA was, that all of the people that just like that kept getting kicked out. So I felt like the crowd was a bit inebriated.
Yes, more than I've ever seen, actually.
I thought they were lame.
I was quite surprised.
Like, considering it's been 10 years since they played Vancouver, and I thought they were really lame.
I did feel like they weren't as loud as I expected them to be.
Not at all.
Like, I feel like the last time I saw them, in 2011, that they were much louder.
I could see them not coming back to Vancouver again. They're doing two shows here, and I can't see them coming back again, because it just... opening of the tour, you think people would have been losing their you-know-what, and they didn't really, a lot of them.
Yeah, I did see, like, a few people behind us in our very, like, close to this side of Mike's side, you know, section. Like, a lot of people were sitting down, which I thought was, like, is it because of the Dark Matter set, you know? And they're like, but this is an even flow, you know? like, I felt like that they were... a lot of people were kind of subdued. I mean, of course, there were plenty of us that were losing our minds over stuff. And
like, I'm still sad that he pulled, like, a kerfuffle and, like, screwed us. And I thought we were totally getting full album.
Yeah!
Was, like, after the second song, like, when it was, I was like, okay, we're getting the full album tonight. And then he stopped it. What was it? At Wreckage, right? After Wreckage, it was done.
Yeah, so and then we... well, things, I was like, oh my gosh, is this happening? And then, Daughter...
yep.
You know, started, and then every, like, I felt like that all the people around us were like, ugh. Which is like, I've never heard anything like that for Daughter. And, but then I also was like, no, I thought I was gonna get like a whole album. I thought, too. I was like, that was, I was like, oh, if they're doing this, this is really brave, and this is great, you know? Absolutely, you know?
I didn't think they were, because they'll leave one song. It's like Gigaton. They'll leave one song that they won't do. They won't do it live for, you know, years.
Oh, my gosh. It better not be Waiting for Stevie.
Oh, yeah.
Which we didn't get tonight, and I'm really sad about that.
I am, too. That's what I was really hoping for.
Wait, did we get... we didn't get anything from Gigaton, did we?
No, we only got the first five albums.
Yeah.
And then some... Leatherman, that was really fun.
Yeah.
You know, when he was telling the story, I'm like, and I think I got Leatherman at a show before, but it made me also realize I haven't sung that song to myself in years, and I was like, oh man, how the hell does this go? And then what else did we get? We got the Tom Petty with the, you know, his guitar, and we got, did we get, what am I missing? The Red Mosquito fuck up, though.
Yes, that was so entertaining. And they handled it so good, and it was hilarious.
It was really adorable. And I thought it was a really good... I'm like, was this on purpose? Because he had the whole thing with the sound guy saying, like, he's got two buttons, suck and don't suck. And then they play that song, and then they sucked. He's like...
and then
yeah,
it was
that was pretty goddamn cute, you know?
It reminded me of 2018, the home shows with Rearview Mirror. And then they started playing a couple of chords, and then he says, and they stops. He goes, no, no, that doesn't sound right. And then they started playing an ABBA song, and everyone was like, what the?
Oh,
and then
my
they
gosh.
Played a bit of an ABBA song, and then he went, that doesn't sound right either. And then right back into Rearview Mirror. It's kind of reminding me of the same sort of idea, same sort of thing. But it's funny. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it, I mean, that's like one of my favorite songs of all time. So to have that little like cute moment was fun, you know. And then what was the other thing I wanted to talk about? I feel like I've heard Do the Evolution a million times, But I think this time was really fun because they used excerpts from the video. And I've never seen a version of the video where the girl, who is like Death or whatever, is naked.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was still the same, you know, character or whatever, but because it was kind of blurry, but we definitely saw boobies. Actually, I was like, that's weird, but okay, yeah. Let's go with it. Yeah, that was, I mean, all in all, I thought it was like a really solid show. I thought Eddie sounded really great.
His voice, yes. Awesome.
You know, he was able to like soar a bit.
And hold a note. Like, yeah. He could like drag a note pretty good, like drag it out and not falter and just. And they didn't start the show like they did in 2022 or last year with them seated for like four or five songs. They skipped that again, which was good.
Yeah, it was really nice that, like, you know, they opened with Wash and they then Low Light. And it was, you know, Elderly Woman, which kind of perked the crowd up because it got us all singing. Yeah, it was like a nice little, like, soft kind of easing into the show. Like the, again, like the silhouettes and the shadows on the screen looked really beautiful. I think we got enough. If there's anything else we can talk about, but I'm just gonna say this. I am with Margaret and Kylie, who are both Canadians. Margaret lives in Vancouver, and this is your, what show was this for you?
My 25th
show.
And my first time sleeping in my own bed after. Woo-hoo! I've never seen them at home before.
Yeah, so it's like a milestone concert for you.
And our friend Jim from Boston. Mm-hmm. It was his 100th show tonight.
Wow, I wish we could have seen him. I don't know. Didn't get a chance to ask him. But I think he was in the chat, so whatever. And Kylie, which show is this for you?
I'm embarrassed to admit it's only my 12th.
That's pretty good. That's respectable.
Well, since 93, nothing to be embarrassed about. That's because this band stopped going to Alberta 10 years ago.
There you go.
And I don't blame them in some ways because our city, our province is too effing conservative for me. And I get that. That's maybe why they stopped. But anyways, yeah, so I'm a little bitter. But it was nice to get a BC show because I was born and raised in BC. So I'm thrilled nice. That we got a BC show.
Yeah, well, it was very cool seeing a show with my Canadian friends.
All right, ladies. Thank you so much for doing that. And we'll hear from you on Monday. I can't wait to see what the follow-up is for all that. So thank you so much. I know we had some problems. We had some errors today, but that's thank you for hanging with that. I really, really appreciate it. So speaking of Monday, that's where we sit right now. Okay, so what's going to happen? What can we expect? I think, you know, even though this is the second night in the same location, I think you're going to hear a lot of the same Dark Matter songs. But again, I think maybe that this is a trend. They are playing a lot of two-night stints in places. Vegas, LA, Seattle, and then later down the line, Philly and the Garden and Wrigley and Fenway and some of those places. And I seem to think that outside of Dark Matter, you might get a completely different set of all of the other songs. So you're not getting Even Flow tonight. Pretty much get to expect it on night two. You got Porch tonight. Maybe you can expect Rearview Mirror or Go ending the set on night two. So speaking of all that, what are your expectations, knowing a little bit of what we got tonight for the second night of this tour?
Oh, we didn't talk about this. Did you notice that during Porch, the screen was showing them playing in a rearview mirror. So yes. I wonder that if that's the set visual for that part of the set. And sometimes it'll be rearview mirror, sometimes it'll be Porch. Felt like that could be interchangeable.
They just fucked it up.
Ah, yeah.
They just fucked it up.
Yeah, I think they probably have it just especially sad for that. But yeah, I think you definitely finish off the record. I think they're going to try to give everybody the whole record at a tune extent. So I think obviously you'll get Stevie. I think they probably work out to give in there at some point. But yeah, you're going to get these blocks of Dark Matter songs, it feels like. But yeah, I would totally expect no repeats on the catalog material.
How about this, guys? Outside of Dark Matter, 3 Yield, 3 10, 2 Verses, 1 Vitalogy, 1 No Code, nothing from Binaural through Gigaton. Not a single song. No. I don't know if that's going to be a trend going forward. Obviously, I think the Gigaton, it was pretty obvious to see that the Gigaton wasn't going to be mixed in within the first few, but knowing that we got something like Red Mosquito and Leatherman pretty early on here means that things can be at play. And I just mentioned this because this was very, very cool. The daughter tag being Bob Cajun from The Hip was outstanding.
Yeah, just throwing that
out there. Something that they never tagged with before.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to be, I don't know, after like reading and listening all the interviews that these guys have done in the past couple of months to promote the record, I'm going to be very intrigued if there's any of those requests from the rest of the band to Ed. They're going to be like, okay, maybe we're going to shake it up with Can't Keep to start, maybe some Retrograde, since, because if we're going to continue that trend, that is still going to be a little bit of a slow burner to start with, we might have like a lot of surprises, like a lot. But I think the core for Dark Matter is not going to change very much. But I'm very intrigued to see what else is going to be thrown into the pot, to see like what's going to be ended up cooking for that night.
How about a Can't Keep intro for night two? That'd be crazy.
Oh yeah, yeah, I would love to see that.
I'm going to say this. Stone seems so positive by it. I think we'll get multiple. Can't Keep might be that song, like that Garden.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but I think they'll do it once.
if they like it, though, yeah. Stone seemed really positive on it.
Yeah,
maybe there's some convincing here. I feel like in the next 10 shows, they'll bring it out at least once. And then maybe we'll see it a multiple time if they really felt with it. Just throwing it out.
And then we're going to get an all or none. Life will be better from that point.
I'll take it all. I'll take all the Riot Act songs I haven't seen.
Yeah, me too.
No, I have seen all or none. I'll take it all. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening in. This being the first one, get it under our belt. I think we were all anticipating this and really excited for it. And now it's just from show to show to show. We got one on Monday. We got another one in Portland on Friday, and then we'll go back to next Monday for Sacramento. So a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to mention this one more time, you guys. We do have this episode was for free on all platforms that it was available on, because we wanted to give you guys a sense of what we're going to be doing this whole entire tour year, from the European shows to the East Coast shows, even the, of course, the Australia and New Zealand shows as well. But we want to give you a sense of what we're going to be doing after this. This is through the subscription platform on Patreon. So if you do want to subscribe, be able to get these episodes nightly, or I should say every morning after the show has ended, then please, patreon.com/live14legs, join up. It's only $1 a month. It helps contribute to what we're doing, and a lot of stuff that we're doing out on tour this year will need the funding. A lot of marketing stuff and things like that. We absolutely could use as much help as humanly possible. So thank you all for listening into this, and we got lots more tour left to go, you guys. So this is just one of the very many, over 40 now, I believe. If they continue on and not have to cancel anything, this is going to be a special, special, special year with lots more Dark Matter. I don't think that I can't see sets having less than 7 Dark Matter songs because of how great these all sounded here. Not a dud in the bunch. And it's been a long time since we've said that about a record. Maybe ever. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you Tuesday morning. And enjoy the shows if you're heading out. And make sure you find the instant reaction spot when we're doing it. So take care. See you later.